Let me see if you can identify this brief statement with who said it frequently on television back when I was a boy, okay? Are you ready for it? Hi-o, Silver! Do you know who it was? The Lone Ranger. And you know what he was? The Lone Ranger, because he was the only survivor of a group of Texas Rangers. Let me tell you this. God never intended for you to be a Lone Ranger Christian. You cannot be the person God created you to be. You cannot live out the life He has for you. You cannot bear up under the struggles and the stress and the strains this life has against you on your own. We need each other. We are strong together. Today we're going to talk about peace. Now we're going to have to go a little bit further than that because I'm telling you, the idea of peace is abstract. But I have a definition for you here. According to the dictionary, peace is a freedom from disturbance. And it's a state of tranquility. Now obviously, our world doesn't know a lot of peace. I want to show you a map. Have we got this up? These are hot spots in the world right now. There are, as of today, 49 different state-sponsored conflicts with armed weapons in our world. 49 different places where war is going on. Some two or three areas here, there's some that aren't on the map. But when we see these armed conflicts around the world, you know what? They don't bother us that much. And you know why they don't? They don't impact us. Let me give you a couple other statistics here. Okay? There are 49 armed state conflicts that killed 69,000 people last year. But here in the U.S., let me give you some numbers. Here in the United States, current to date, at least according to what I found online, these are just a few cities and murders to date. Kansas City, 150. Jackson, Mississippi, 60 murders to date. New Orleans, 157. Baltimore, 342. Dallas, to date, 103 murders. Do you know which city is the most dangerous per capita in the United States? St. Louis. More people are murdered there per capita than anywhere else in the world. But even then, although we hate to hear it, doesn't keep us up at night unless it's someone in our family. What keeps us up at night? The disturbance that keeps us up at night is when our marriage is in trouble. Amen? Amen? What keeps us up at night is when our teenagers begin making bad decisions and we see the road they're walking down. What keeps us up at night is we hear the suicide rate continuing to increase, especially among our young people. That's what disturbs us and keeps us up at night. We get disturbed when we wonder, how are we going to pay our bills? I went to my home away from home yesterday, which is here in Mesquite, Home Depot. And as I walked in, the greeter at the door stopped me. He stops and grabbed me and said, "Preacher, I'm having problems." And he began to tell me some things that were going on in his life with his wife and his family. He said, "I'm just a nervous wreck." And so I prayed with him. So we stood there at the door there where you come in, and I prayed with him. That's what keeps us up. Those were the disturbances and the lack of peace that hit us all so hard. It goes on all around us. But I want to talk to you, give me a second here, guys, about one word. And this is the answer. One word. Don't put it up yet. Let me tell you this. It is a word that Moses would have used. Abraham would have used it. David would have used it. The prophet certainly would have used it. Jesus used it. The apostle Paul used it. And it's still being used today. It is a word that if we would understand the principle and apply it in our lives, we would have what Paul calls it, peace that passeth understanding. One word. Shalom. Know it? Have you heard it? Shalom. It is a Hebrew word. Say it with me. Shalom. It is a Hebrew word, and this is what it means. It means wholeness, completeness, soundness, safety, prosperity. It is a peace that just saturates everything about us. You see, when we seek peace, what we actually do, we seek segments of peace. We find a quiet place to sit because we think that may give us peace. We pay off our credit cards and try to get out of debt because we think if I ever get out of debt, maybe I can be in peace. Maybe if I change relationships with whom I'm with, I could be in peace. No. You see, the problem is you're not whole. The problem is that it needs to be complete. Sound. You want safety from everything bombarding you and the prosperity that God brings. Now, back when I was in college studying to be a preacher, I took a course on preaching. I know you don't think I did, but I did. And there was a quote from a famous preacher that has always stuck with me about preparing a sermon. And this is what he said. He said, preachers, when you prepare a sermon, simplify it. He said, and when you simplified it and you're almost embarrassed, simplify it again. He said, and then when you get it so simple that you think a child could understand it, he says, that's when the adults will feast on it. He said, put the cookies on the shelf where the kids can get to them. And then the adults will enjoy them too. Well, I'm going to give you a child's lesson right now on video of the word shalom and what it means.
The word peace is common in most languages. People can talk about peace treaties or times of peace. It means the absence of war. And in the Bible, the word peace can refer to the absence of conflict, but it also points to the presence of something better in its place. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And in the New Testament, the Greek word is eirene. The most basic meaning of shalom is complete or whole. The word can refer to a stone that has a perfect, whole shape with no cracks. It can also refer to a completed stone wall that has no gaps and no missing bricks. Shalom refers to something that's complex with lots of pieces that's in a state of completeness, wholeness. It's like Job, who says his tents are in a state of shalom because he counted his flock and no animals are missing. This is why shalom can refer to a person's well-being. Like when David visited his brothers on the battlefield, he asked about their shalom. The core idea is that life is complex, full of moving parts and relationships and situations, and when any of these is out of alignment or missing, your shalom breaks down. Life is no longer whole. It needs to be restored. In fact, that's the basic meaning of shalom when you use it as a verb. To bring shalom literally means to make complete or restore. So Solomon brings shalom to the unfinished temple when he completes it. Or if your animal accidentally damages your neighbor's field, you shalom them by giving them a complete repayment for their loss. You take what's missing and you restore it to wholeness. The same goes for human relationships. In the book of Proverbs, to reconcile and heal a broken relationship is to bring shalom. And when rival kingdoms make shalom in the Bible, it doesn't just mean they stop fighting. It also means they start working together for each other's benefit. This state of shalom is what Israel's kings were supposed to cultivate, and it rarely happened. So the prophet Isaiah, he looked forward to a future king, a prince of shalom. And his reign would bring shalom with no end, a time when God would make a covenant of shalom with his people and make right all wrongs and heal all that's been broken. This is why Jesus' birth in the New Testament was announced as the arrival of Eirene. Remember, that's the Greek word for peace. Jesus came to offer his peace to others, like when he said to his followers, "My peace I give to you all." The apostles claimed that Jesus made peace between messed up humans and God when he died and rose from the dead. The idea is that he restored to wholeness the broken relationship between humans and their creator. This is why the apostle Paul can say Jesus himself is our Eirene. He was the whole complete human that I am made to be but have failed to be. And now he gives me his life as a gift. And this means that Jesus' followers are now called to create peace. Paul instructed local churches to keep their unity through the bond of peace, which requires humility and patience and bearing with others in love. Becoming people of peace means participating in the life of Jesus, who reconciled all things in heaven on earth, restoring peace through his death and resurrection. So peace takes a lot of work, because it's not just the absence of conflict. True peace requires taking what's broken and restoring it to wholeness, whether it's in our lives, our relationships, or in our world. And that's the rich biblical concept of peace.
So what we're talking about is this. If you want peace in your life, calm in your life, knowing everything is all right, you're only going to find it in the Prince of Peace, and that is Jesus. That means it doesn't matter how much money you've got. Without Jesus, there is no shalom. It doesn't matter what kind of relationship you're in or you're pursuing or who they are. Without Jesus in the mix, there is no shalom. So if you're wondering, what do you need to do? You need to turn to Christ and recognize he is the Prince of Peace, that he might bring shalom in your life, that you feel like everything is complete. Everything is whole. Everything is like it needs to be. Somebody told me it's like a jigsaw puzzle. Now, I know some of you like jigsaw puzzles. You like opening up the box and pouring out them 1,000 pieces and putting it together. I myself think it's idiotic. Why do you take a beautiful picture, then cut it up into 1,000 pieces, and then you want to put it back together, and then some people take it and put on a piece of plywood and glue it? I'm like, why? But haven't you ever wondered why people make some of the decisions they make in life? Why do they do that, thinking it's going to help them, or do that with where they're going? The answer is Jesus. It was preached by the apostles. The foundation of this country was those that came over to find religious freedom. And if you want shalom in your life, you're only going to find it in Jesus. Him alone. I want to share with you four scripture verses and pull a simple truth from each of them. The first scripture that referred to it on the slide we just watched is found in Isaiah 9, 6. I bet you recognize the verse. For unto us a child is born, a son is given to us. And the government shall rest upon his shoulders. These will be his royal titles: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. In other words, Isaiah was saying, there's a child coming, and he will be shalom to the world. He will bring completeness to the world. He will unite and bring back together again. Shalom. Back to the jigsaw puzzle. Let's say you're kind of like me and you don't like a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. So instead, you choose the 2-piece jigsaw puzzle. You just put them together. Did you know that's our life? It's a 2-piece jigsaw puzzle. We're on one side and God's on the other. And Jesus came to bring the two together. That is shalom. That's what Christ came to do for us, bringing us together. Together by reconciling us to God. To bring together those that are opposed. You see, together we have one story. Our story is simple. We are here because we've been saved by grace. Not because we're better than anybody else, but because we have found in Christ forgiveness and redemption, and He came to restore. What Jesus came to do was take fallen man and unite him with God. The problem was this, if you don't understand it from a legal perspective, when God created us, He said, there's one thing that can separate us, and that is sin. When you choose to reject me and do your own thing, we will separate. And He said, and the only way it's ever going to come back together is death. So Jesus came to be that death. Jesus came, the Apostle Paul says, to be the propitiation of our sin. To be that one that would bring us together. That's what Jesus did. It's really simple. Jesus came that you and I can once again be restored into a relationship with God. Have you ever ordered something, or maybe you've gone to Walmart and picked it up, and on the box it says easy assembly, even a child could do it. Have you seen them? I want to meet that child. And then you open the box and it dawns on you, all the pieces aren't even here. Ever had that? We are trying to figure out our lives. We're trying to figure out our relationships. We're trying to figure out our occupation. We're trying to figure out what we need to be happy in life. And we don't have all the pieces. Because the one piece that's missing is God. And when He created you, He left a void inside of you for Him that only He can forgive. You see, Jesus was born to reconcile. He said, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. He came to reconcile. When He was born in Bethlehem, the angels sang about peace. Jesus went to the cross to reconcile. It's amazing when you think about the cross. And I know our tendency is to think that Jesus was put on the cross by the Romans, or maybe it was the Jewish Sanhedrin that sentenced Him to death. Oh no. No, they did not. Jesus Himself put it this way. He said, no man takes my life from me. He said, I lay it down of myself. Jesus went to the cross that He might reconcile fallen man to a loving God. Did you know that it says in the book of Isaiah, speaking of Jesus, that it bruised the Father to bruise Him? That He was smitten of God and afflicted? That there on the cross, God took His wrath toward you and me. Because we have rebelled against him. God took that anger toward us and he turned it instead on his son. And on the cross, Jesus suffers in our place and he cries out, my God, why have you left me? Reconciling the world to God. And together, we have experienced it. Whether you're a new Christian that you've just found Christ, or maybe you've been walking with the Lord for decades, you've experienced forgiveness from your sins. You've experienced the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the togetherness of the story that we share. That without him, I would be nothing. Second scripture is this, John 14:27. Jesus says, I'm leaving you a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't like the peace that the world gives. So don't be troubled and afraid. What he says here is this. I'm going to give you a peace that you've never known. Because all you've ever known is the peace that the world offers. And it has no shalom. Which means the peace is just temporary. It doesn't last. It's immediate. You see, together we discover a satisfying peace. It says here in the passage, Jesus says, I'm leaving you a gift. James goes as far as to say, everything that we have, if it's a good gift, is from God. You see, there's two kinds of peace. There's the world's peace, and there's God's peace. Let's just think about the world's peace for a moment. We depend on our politicians to help us find it. Do you have a lot of confidence there? My goodness. Maybe we depend on our educators. No. So where do we find it? We begin to find it in things that make us happy. What makes you feel good? Some people like to buy things. Did you know that? Have you ever known people that watch these programs like where you just order stuff online all the time? Did you know there are people that do nothing but sit home with credit cards and order stuff? But it makes them feel good when they get it. The problem is that it ain't enough. They gotta have more. Not enough. Everything that the world offers is only temporary. Now, we're adults here, right? We're adults. Our world is crazed about sex right now. I mean, I'm amazed at what they try to sell through advertising, promoting sex. Did you know every study I've ever seen says the people that talk about the most satisfying sexual relationships are married couples? Are you shocked that was God's idea to begin with? Because it's lasting. It's not a night here with them or a night there with them. It's satisfying. What God gives us is a peace different than the world. The world says it's important that your emotions be satisfied, that your flesh be satisfied. Well, I'm upset because they made me angry. We should do something about it. No, get over it. And what really shocks me are the people that make decisions based upon their feelings. Please don't fall into that category. Because I'm telling you, you cannot trust your feelings. I'll bet you, matter of fact, One of our women in the church told me this the other day, and She's in a very happy, strong marriage. She said, people don't understand. Sometimes you don't even like the person you're married to. Am I right? That's conflict. So you can't depend, well, I'm going to find somebody else. You think you're going to find somebody better? Do you really? When you depend on feelings, you depend on something that's never stable, that depends on your body chemistry, that depends on what is happening around you. You can't trust feelings, and you certainly can't trust the flesh, because the desires of the flesh are fleeting, always fleeting. But when Jesus comes on the scene, how does he phrase it? I'll give you peace of mind and peace of heart. What he is saying is, I will give you shalom. I will give you completeness. I will give you wholeness. I will give you that which satisfies mind and heart. In other words, I will help you think about the things that satisfy. I'll help you think about the things that have lasting value. I'll help you think about the things that'll give you a new heart. And you know what? If you don't learn to control your mind, you're not going very far. The Word says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And the Word also tells us that we should have the mind that Jesus had. But not just mind, heart. Mind's what you think about. Heart is what you desire. What do you desire? When you desire that which is temporary, you will never be happy. Some of us here have in the past gone out and bought a new car because, after all, wow, was that a car? I mean, don't you love the smell of a new car? Leather seats. Got these new computerized navigation system. But did you know what? In 5 years, it's going to be an old car. And you're going to want another one. Going to want another one. Problem is, you're still making payments on that one. So you get yourself in a pickle. Your kid says, for Christmas, I want a new gaming system. So you get them a new gaming system and all the current games. Well, you know those games will be outdated in a few months. They want new games. There's no satisfaction. No satisfaction. But Jesus phrases it this way. I'm leaving you a gift. Peace of mind and heart. The peace that I give isn't like the peace that the world gives. So don't be troubled and afraid. And the reason for it is, I'm going to give you shalom. I'm going to give you a peace, Paul phrases it, that passes understanding. Third one here quickly. I'm going a little longer than I'd hoped. John 16:33. I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. Anybody having a trial right now? Anybody grieving? Doesn't have to be another person, but anyone grieving? In this life, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. And as long as we are in Christ, we are overcomers. Jesus says, I've overcome, therefore, shalom. It is available to you. Jesus brings an overcoming peace, a peace that overcomes whatever is laid before us. Together we can overcome our troubles. Our trials. our hospital stays, our loss of jobs, the heartbreak of our children sometimes. We will have trials and sorrows, but I have overcome the world. And when we come to Him, He becomes our strength. He becomes our peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He becomes our shalom. You see, peace isn't just a feeling. Peace is a person. And that person is Jesus. Shalom overcomes sickness. Shalom overcomes death. Shalom overcomes the breakup of relationships. Parents, teach your children. First of all, teach your high school kids that they don't need to be in relationships right now. It's just going to do nothing but break their hearts. But the loss of relationships is part of life. But you find the answer in Christ. You see, at the cross, Jesus paid for shalom. At the tomb, when He walked out, He made shalom available to you and to me. The Jewish people used shalom as a greeting. They might meet on the streets or entering into the synagogue, and perhaps here in our culture we may say, well, how you doing? Good to see you. Their words would be shalom. Shalom. It takes us past the here and the now, and it brings God into where we are. Shalom. And Jesus is our shalom. By the way, the video that we watched on shalom was presented by a group that's a spinoff of Jews for Jesus. Number four, love this verse. Philippians 4 and 7. You should have this underlined in your Bible, even if you could memorize it. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Wow. Now, the epistle to the Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul. Paul was a frequent prisoner in Rome. Paul three times was so severely persecuted he was left for dead. Everywhere Paul went, somebody was after him. So he is the one describing this shalom. He's not someone that life has been easy for. He is someone whose life has been very difficult. Even all he's trying to do is do what is right and do what is helpful. They're always against him. Listen to what he says again. Don't worry about anything. Is that hard for you? If it is, because there's an absence of shalom. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for what He has done. By the way, when you're being thankful, it's hard to be critical. When you're being thankful, it's hard to find fault. There's an old gospel song that goes, count your many blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what God has done. This is all Paul is saying. Thank Him for all He has done. Thank Him that you've experienced shalom. If you do this, this is one of God's promises. If you do this, Paul says, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. You see, we seek the world's peace so often. The peace that comes from what we do or what we buy or what we ingest or what we inject. We seek the kind of peace that is so temporary, but it's far more wonderful than the human mind can comprehend. This peace will guard your hearts and your lives through Jesus Christ. Jesus brings a growing peace. Now, when you first come to Christ, do you automatically receive shalom? You begin to receive shalom. When you come to Christ, you begin to grow. You begin to learn. You begin to experience. That's why we do it together. Why do we have Bible studies in the church? We have Bible studies at 9 o'clock. We have Bible studies on, there's a study that goes here on Wednesday night, Monday nights, Thursday mornings. We have Bible studies that go on because when we come together and study the Word of God together, we grow in our shalom. When someone else tells us their story, we go, wow, if they can do it, why can't I? A couple of weeks ago at Wow Day, Amanda shared her story. And I had so many people afterwards telling me, Amanda, how much it encouraged them. Because we learn and grow in each other. God did not mean for you to be a lone ranger, to have to do all this by yourself. We are supposed to gather together as God's people in fellowship and grow. And together we experience shalom. You don't have to be alone. You don't have to cry alone. You don't have to face tough decisions alone. You have a body that loves you. Together, this is His church. When Peter made that great confession that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus made this statement. He said, blessed are you, Simon. Blessed are you. Actually, he said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah. Not only does God know you, He knows your mom and dad. He knows your grandparents. He knows what you're inclined to do, what you're not inclined to do. He said, blessed are you, Peter, for upon this statement I'm going to build my church. And I love what he said. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Because together we can experience the peace of God. That again in the Hebrew is that simple word shalom. And whatever assails against us, God's in control. Heard a story the other day about a sailing ship that was crossing the Atlantic. The captain of the ship had his family on board. And a storm came up and began to rock the ship. Rocked it enough that it woke up his daughter who was asleep. And it startled her because the ship rocked so much. And she woke up and said, Mom, what's happening? She said, honey, we're in a bad storm. And she turned to her mom and said, is Dad on deck? He's the captain. Is Dad on deck? She said, Dad's on deck. She said, okay. And she went back to sleep. Dad's on deck. God's in control. You can have a peace that passeth understanding in your relationship with Christ, your relationship with other Christians, because again, God's intent is that we do life together. Together. Let's pray. Father God, help us to see clearly right now, Lord. We rebuke, Father, the temptation of the enemy, the confusion of the enemy, that we might see clearly that if we want to have a good life, if we want to have a life filled with a peace that lasts, a life filled with shalom, then we know that is in Christ. Not only is it in Christ, but it's in His church that He established. And so, Father, I pray. Lord, I pray for His sheep. I pray for the ones that He died for here today, Lord, that they would know Your peace and know Your love. Father, have Your way in our hearts. May we, Father, trust You. May we just, even in prayer right now, Father, just say, Lord, take me. Commit myself to You. Jesus, forgive me. Change me. But then, Father, give us the understanding that that is not the end, it is but the beginning. Because shalom comes as we gather together in Christ. And as the Holy Spirit fills us and we share together our fears and our failures and our miracles, Father, have Your way. If you're here with us today, and not going to embarrass you, but if you would just say, Pastor, I would appreciate it if you'd pray for me. I'm not going to call you out, but if you'll slip your hand up, I want to pray for you right now. Some of you are struggling. God, slip your hand up if you're struggling. I see it and God sees it. Father God, You see these hands, Lord. You see those who are struggling. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that the Holy Spirit might draw close to them. And that the Holy Spirit might guide and direct them. I pray that they would find that peace that is only found in Christ. That they would find in Christ their shalom. For in His name, the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, that we pray. Amen and amen. So did you think you were going to come today and hear about a Jewish word, shalom? I do pray so much that you will allow God to allow the shalom of the Lord to just invade your life. Oh, He loves you so much.